Harris returned to her employer's suite in her own off-duty clothes, the first time she'd worn them since leaving the service. Since Lady Cecilia was wearing a formal dinner gown, she put on her own, and had the satisfaction of seeing her employer truly surprised.
"My dear, I had no idea you looked like that. I'm sorry, that was unforgivable."
"Not really, although it was your uniform that made me look the other way."
Harris knew very well what the close-fitting, jet-beaded bodice did for her. The flared black skirt swirled around her ankles as she came to the table. She would never have the advantage of Cecilia's height, but she had learned to use color and line to compensate.
"Oh, one last bit of business before dinner. What about the inquest on Ickland?"
Lady Cecilia slipped into her seat and picked up her napkin.
"Not a problem. With the documentation you supplied and the medical evidence from Timmons, this will be treated as an obvious accident."
Harris sat down. She knew she shouldn't continue the subject at table, but questions cluttered her mind.
"I wish..."
"Not now. We can discuss this later if you wish, though I would prefer to wait until tomorrow, local time. By then, forensics should have confirmed the cause of death, and I'll know more."
Harris blinked. She had not realized that Lady Cecilia would be dealing with the legal problems of Ickland's death while she worked on the ship. She had thought she would have to do it all herself. Dinner arrived, with a cluster of attendants. Harris found herself staring at a tiny wedge of something decorated with a sprig of green.
"Lassafrin snailfish fin. The garnish is frilled zillic. We grew that aboard before... at one time."
Harris tasted the snailfish fin, which had been dipped in a mustardy sauce. It had an odd but winsome flavor, perfectly complemented by the zillic. She had eaten at places that served this sort of food, usually while on political assignment, but the service favored less quixotic cuisine. One rarely had time to spend hours at the table. She hoped she would not have to spend hours at dinner now. With the relaxation induced by comfortable clothes, she had begun to realize how tired she was. Next came a hot soup, its brilliant reds and golds contrasting with the pallid snailfish fin. Fish and vegetables, flavors well blended, with enough spice to make her eyes water.
"Sikandar chowder. Good when you're tired. I used to have this a lot when I was competing."
Harris wondered what she'd competed at, but didn't ask. She could have eaten two bowls of the chowder, and twice as many of the crisp rolls served alongside it.
"This is delicious."
"I thought you'd like that. I'm going to try their roast chicken and rice, but if you want more chowder, just say so."
Courtesy and appetite argued, and courtesy won. Harris let the waiter remove her soup plate and accepted the roast chicken. Slices of breast meat, marinated and grilled after roasting, formed the wings of a swan. Its body was a mound of spiced rice. The graceful head and neck had been artfully formed of curled spice grass. She took a cautious bite of the rice, ginger, mustard, coriander, and devoured it with almost indecent haste. She had been hungrier than she knew. The slices of chicken disappeared, then the spice grass. The next course seemed out of sequence to Harris, but she realized that Lady Cecilia could set her own standards. Still, the platter of fruit, ponax-grown melons, and berries didn't suit her at the moment. She nibbled a jade green slice of melon to be polite. Lady Cecilia, too, seemed as ready to talk as eat. She began with a question about the literature studied at the academy. One of her great-nephews had said no one there read Silvas. Was that true? Harris recognized this opening and added to her reply, "Yes, they read Silvas, but only the famous trilogy," a comment about a more contemporary writer. For a few minutes, they discussed Kurlskvon's recent work, feeling out each other's knowledge. Lady Cecilia had not read the first novel. Harris had not read the third most recent. The cheeses came in. The fruit remained. Harris sliced a wafer of orange Jabilla cheese and floated a comment about visual arts. Lady Cecilia waved that away.
"As for me, I like pictures of horses. The more accurate it is, the better. Aside from that, I know nothing about the visual arts and don't want to. I was made to study it when I was a girl, but since then, no. Now let me ask you, what do you know about horses?"
"Nothing, except that we had to have riding lessons in the academy. Officers must be able to sit a horse properly for ceremonial occasions. That's what they said."
"You don't like them?"
"What, horses? Frankly, m'lady, to a spacer, they're simply large, dirty, smelly animals with an appalling effect on the environmental system. I remember one time having to inspect a commercial hauler which was taking horses somewhere. Why, I can't imagine, and it was a mess. I don't blame the animals, of course. They've evolved on a planet, and on something the size of a planet, there's enough space for them. But in the hold of a starship, no.
Did you like riding them?
Lady Cecilia had a mild, vague expression which didn't suit her.
It wasn't as bad as some of the other things we had to learn. I did fairly well, in fact. But it's so useless. When would anyone need to ride a horse anywhere?
Only on uncivilized planets where it rains without permission.
Belatedly, Harris remembered that the reason her employer so wanted to be on time was for the start of the fox hunting season, which had something to do with horses.
Of course, many people do enjoy them, recreationally.
Yes, many people do. I, for one. Did your lessons at the academy ever include riding them in the open, across country?
No. We had all our lessons in an enclosed ring.
So you have no experience of real riding?
Harris wondered why riding in a ring was not real. The horse had been large and had smelled like a horse. The sore muscles she got from riding had been real enough. But from her employer's face, this was not going to be a popular question.
I haven't ridden anywhere but in those lessons, no.
Ah. Then I suggest a wager.
A wager?
Yes. If the refitters are finished and we clear this station 48 hours after we arrived, no, 50 hours, for you will need a little time, I'm sure, to ready for departure, then you win, and I will submit to be lectured by you on visual arts for 10 hours. If, however, we are delayed, you lose and will owe me 10 hours, which I shall use in teaching you to ride, really ride, on my simulator.
An interesting wager. But that assumes that I want to bore you with 10 hours of visual arts, which I don't. What I wish you knew more about was your own ship. Suppose, if I win, you spend 10 hours with me learning how to tell if your refitters did a good job.
You are that confident that we will be out in 50 hours?
I am confident that, either way, we will both learn something worthwhile.
You're mocking me. You don't think riding is worthwhile.
No, m'lady. I am not mocking you, which would be both rude and foolish. You think it is important. I have not, up until now, but perhaps I'm wrong. If I lose, you have the chance to convince me. And I'm very sure that you would have been spared expense and inconvenience both had you known more about the workings of your yacht. Did you always take the horse a groom brought you and get on and ride right away? We were taught to inspect the tack for ourselves, to look at the animal's feet.
Hooves.
Hooves, and see if it had any problems.
I see your point. No, certainly I did not take my groom's word for everything. Very well, then. If you win, I will study my yacht's particulars, and if I win, you will study horsemanship. Is it agreed?
Certainly.
Harris reached across and shook her employer's hand. How hard could it be, after all? The simulator wasn't a real horse. It couldn't step on her, or bite her, or run away with her.
M'lady, your nephew and some friends are on their way.
No, I don't want to see them.
I'm sorry, m'lady. They're already in the tube.
Blast it.
Lady Cecilia half rose from her chair, and the attendants scurried to help her. She waved them away, reseated herself, and glanced at Harris.
I apologize, Captain, for the past moment and the coming hour. I'll get rid of them as soon as I can.
Ronnie was first through the door when it opened.
Aunt Cecilia, it's unforgivable. That disgusting captain of yours put us in a cheap place as far from here as you can imagine. They don't even have a...
He stopped abruptly as Harris turned to face him. She was delighted to see how far his jaw dropped before he got it back under control.
It's the captain.
The two young women looked ashamed of themselves and their companions. The blonde one opened her mouth and shut it.
That's a lovely dress, Captain Serrano.
Harris noted that Ronnie gave her a disgusted look, so she smiled at the young woman. Rafaela, she thought her name was.
Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it.
You might want to know that I approved your assignment to that hotel. If you want to blame someone, blame me. Captain Serrano has been far too busy saving our lives to spare any energy to make your lives miserable.
Ronnie was a strange color, two shades darker than bright pink.
What is unforgivable is your rude intrusion into my dinner and private conversation and your insulting my captain. You will apologize to Captain Serrano now, or you can find your own way home and take whatever punishment you get, which I am sure you richly deserve.
Here, now, I...
Lady Cecilia quelled George with a glance. Ronnie looked from one to the other and gave a minute shrug.
I'm sorry, Aunt Cecilia and Captain Serrano. It was not... I didn't mean to be rude, I just...
Wanted your own way. I know. And that is an entirely inadequate apology. You called Captain Serrano disgusting. You will retract that.
Harris had not realized that any civilian could sound so much like a flag officer. Suddenly, it was easy to imagine Lady Cecilia in full dress uniform with braid up to her shoulders. Ronnie's flush darkened and his lip curled. The glance he shot Harris was unchastened and furious.
I'm sorry, Captain Serrano, that I referred to you as disgusting. It was ungentlemanly.
Harris nodded, dismissing it. She would say nothing that might make things worse between aunt and nephew.
You may go now.
Lady Cecilia picked up her glass and sipped. Harris doubted if she knew whether she had water or wine in it. The girls turned to go at once. George backed up a step, but Ronnie looked as if he were inclined to argue.
Now, and don't roam too far from your hotel unless you carry a comm unit. I will give you only 1 hour's notice to reboard, and it would not hurt my feelings to leave you here.
Ronnie gave a stiff bow, turned on his heel, and almost pushed the others out of the suite.
Oh, I'm truly sorry. Ronnie suffers from being the oldest boy in his family, the first grandchild in our branch, and his parents' pride. He was spoiled before he was born, I dare say, if there's a way to indulge an embryo in the tank. The mess he's in now... Sorry, it's not fair to bore you with this.
Harris smiled and sipped. Water for her, while the refitting was going on. She could afford not the slightest haze between her and reality.
Lady Cecilia, nothing that concerns you bores me. Surprises me, perhaps, but don't fear that I'm bored. If you wish to discuss it...
I suppose you think you could straighten him out.
It's not my job, straightening out your nephew. Unless you request it. And then... I don't know. When I've had someone of his social class to deal with, it's because he or she volunteered. I had leverage based on their own motivation.
You must despise us.
Why? Because you have a bratty nephew? I've seen admirals' children with the same problem.
Really? I thought military children were born saluting the obstetrician and clicked their heels as soon as they stood up.
Oh, their parents wish. No, m'lady. We're born squally brats the same as everyone else, and have to be civilized the same way. Your nephew seems to me the logical result of privilege, but no worse than others.
Thank God for that. I'd been imagining you all this time turning up your nose at me for having such a nephew.
Harris hoped her face didn't reveal that she had thought that, and shook her head.
Milady, as you said, I've been too busy to give much thought to your nephew. Your crew now... If you want to talk about your nephew, feel free. I'm listening.
He got in trouble.
Harris listened to the story of the Princess Singer and the rest with outward calm and inward satisfaction. About what she expected from that sort of young man. She hadn't realized he was in the Royal Aerospace Service, and wondered aloud why he'd been foisted off on his aunt when his colonel should have been able to handle the situation.
Because my sweet sister wouldn't allow it. He certainly could have been posted to, say, Shing San, where his regiment has a work depot for a year, or someplace where he'd actually do useful work. But Berenice interceded and got him a year's sabbatical. A sabbatical in the military, on the promise that he would not show his face in the capital.
Hmm.